Corbin.
For Triple Canopy, I'm Ben Tausig. Welcome to episode 2 of Bangkok is Ringing. In Bangkok, things are never hotter than in mid-April, when even the setting of the sun won't relieve the sweating. Just a few weeks after the vernal equinox, Thais observe their traditional New Year, called Songkran, by soaking each other for 3 days. They call it water play. The holiday is both a ritual with religious overtones. There are elements of Buddhism, Brahmanism, and animism, and a good way to cool off. Variations of the holiday exist all over Southeast Asia, and have for centuries, though no one agrees on where or when it began, exactly. For more spiritually minded Thais, Songkran is a cleansing ceremony, a chance to wash away bad luck from the previous year and start with a clean slate. They go to temples to clean Buddha statues, play traditional music, visit monks, hear sermons, and pray. Water is central to every part of the celebration. Children pour scented water on their parents' hands, confirming the continuity of family and community. Such use of holy water dates back many centuries in this part of the world. Lustral water was a key element in rituals that sealed the bonds of loyalty between officials in the ancient Siamese kingdom. Today, at funerals, weddings, and consecration ceremonies, water is still used to make the bonds between people concrete. Water, like a whisper, is a thing of great intimacy, even more so during the holiday, when temples are sequestered from the noise of traffic by the sounds of cascading fountains activated for the occasion. For others, Songkran is a time to be at home with family. Many people leave for the rural provinces for a few days, or if they stay in Bangkok, they gather in houses far from the city center. In the narrow streets of these residential enclaves, families and friends sing and eat together in relative peace, celebrating the new year in isolation from, even cleansing themselves of, the gritty, throbbing scene just a few miles away. Downtown, throngs of foreigners and less reverent Thai revelers drink whiskey by the barrel and soak one another from head to toe with buckets and squirt guns. Club music blasts from stacks of speakers mounted in truck beds from the morning of the festival's first day to the late night hours of the last. In secluded temples and on side streets, many in Bangkok spent this year's Songkran peacefully, quietly, as they do every year. But in the busiest parts of the city, Songkran became something else altogether, a blaring, 24-hour combat zone. Gangs of kids with hoses and high-powered water rifles dug in on every corner, drenching passersby along with any cars and buses they could hit. 10 years ago, the city of Bangkok tried to make it illegal to hit vehicles with water. However, they soon abandoned the effort, recognizing the law's futility. In tourist areas like Silom and Khao San Road, the action was even thicker. Impromptu outdoor bars, lined with neon green and yellow cannons, formed a gauntlet of heavy water artillery, and the bars blasted dance music through tinny speakers that turned all sonic detail into mud. The partying was ceaseless. Hoses and booze flowed until late at night. Vendors grilled tons of meat and fish on the packed sidewalks. The din of horns honking and people shouting was unrelenting. The streets were transported into soaking, lawless delirium. It became difficult to tell the attackers and the attacked apart. Meanwhile, 3,500 traffic accidents took place over the course of the holiday, resulting in more than 350 deaths. Vehicles with cracked windshields, flat tires, and crumpled hoods littered the streets, their paint baking in the sun. Shirtless passersby would contemplate them briefly before returning to the fray. Each night, the combatants allowed themselves only a few hours' sleep, then started again early the next morning. The melees were so destructive that many people took several days off to recover after the holiday ended. Traditionalists often lament the changed nature of Songkran celebrations that result in such hangovers. The holiday now seems split between those who are happy to live in accordance with long-standing hierarchies and those who desire technology, spectacle, and the noisy production of new political orders. The phonetic similarity between Songkran, the holiday, and Songkram, the Thai word for war, is uncanny. Whether word or event, it can be difficult to hear the difference. Water no longer always makes manifest generational bonds. It is ammunition rather than adhesive. It rarely moves slowly enough to flow. This makes covering Songkran as a journalist a serious challenge. Bringing a camera or microphone into a place where you're likely to get assaulted with water is a real risk. My security strategy involved wrapping my handheld recorder in three plastic bags, which were nestled within a larger canvas bag. However, to actually record anything, I had to take out my equipment and make it, and myself, vulnerable. There were a few close calls. At one point, a girl wielding a bucket emerged from behind a parked car and doused me. But for the most part, the electronics I was carrying seemed to identify me as a non-combatant, and I got a pass. The risks of covering Songkran these days, however frustrating, are reminiscent of the ever-present limits of reporting. The restrictions each place and each situation imposes on you, and the limits you impose on yourself, for fear of reprisal or injury. Not everything that's heard can be transmitted. Like my recording equipment, for which sound quality depends on settings, microphone, and the way the machine itself is built, I felt like a filter, through which only some sounds could be allowed to pass. As the role of water in the nature and purpose of Songkran evolves, so too does it change the way in which the event can be documented.